So, anyway, thank you for the introduction, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about state's investments in Medicaid community-based care. For those of you less familiar with community-based care, Medicaid is by far the largest funder of both institutional and community-based care in this country. I'd like to begin by acknowledging my co-author. So Adele Kirk is here, and Emily Shockley works with me at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, where I'm from. This work is funded through the National Institute of Disability and Rehabilitation Research. It's actually a work through the Center for Personal Assistance Services at the University of California, San Francisco. And this work is done in collaboration with Charlene Harrington. Charlene Harrington and I have been writing about Medicaid community-based care for many years. So I'll just say that. So she's been great to work with, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. So if we go back to 1990, when the Americans with Disabilities Act was actually passed, if you looked at long-term care in the Medicaid program and you looked at the share supporting community-based care, only roughly 7 to 8% of all Medicaid dollars supported care in the community at that time. So there, over this is almost 25-year period, has been a substantial shift from receiving long-term services and supports in institutional settings into the community. So, and I've had the chance to really track that. So, this next year, 2015, will actually be the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So today, which was not the case in 1990, but today all states offer community-based services to older adults or adults with physical disabilities. If you look at, and these are the most recent data that are publicly available, in 2011, just about 34% of all Medicaid long-term care dollars supported care in the community. But you can also see that there's substantial state variation. So New Mexico spent well over 90% of all of its long-term care dollars in a community setting, whereas in North Dakota, the share or percentage was about 13.6%. And this kind of variation across states and what drives the variation and how you encourage states to catch up is something that I've been interested in. There, subsequent to the Americans with Disabilities Act, and particularly subsequent to the Supreme Court Olmstead decision in 1999, there have been a number of federal policy initiatives that have been funded by Congress to support states' expansion. Real Choice Systems Change was funded in 2001 and funded a whole range of state-level activities. But while there were numerous different initiatives funded under that in all states, but South Dakota participated, the size of the programs were relatively small, so in the order of kind of $200,000 to $400,000 for a given project in a state or a couple years. Money Follows the Person, which was authorized by the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, is a much larger program, several million dollars going to a state on kind of an annual basis. And it's really, that demonstration is focused particularly on people who are receiving care in an institutional setting, who've been there for 90 days or longer, having expressed a desire to leave and can be cared for in the community. And states receive a lot of federal support to identify and bring people out and get people set back up in the community. There were, the first year that that was funded, 31 states participating, and that's been expanded some more with the Affordable Care Act and some later initiatives. And then the Affordable Care Act is the first one to specifically address this kind of what some people term to as rebalancing, or identifying states who have relatively lower investments for certain of their long-term care populations and providing resources to move more into the community. On the kind of Medicaid side as opposed to the demonstration side, 2005 we had the addition of 1915I, which is a state plan option where you can do community-based care waiver services but through a state plan. There's lots to say about that that I don't have time for, but it's a very, for people interested in kind of access issues, it's a very attractive alternative to the C waivers. 1915J is basically a state plan to allow people to self-direct, which really came out of all of the cash and counseling demonstration activities and was brought into law. The ACA also authorized Community First Choice, which allows provision of personal assistance services to people with disabilities at a higher income level than what's the typical kind of state plan income level. And then there were also refinements to the HCBS state plan option. So I wanted to basically take a more recent look. I hadn't looked at these numbers for a while. So take a more recent look at state investment, and in particular look at states who had relatively low levels of investment in 2000, look at a couple of the federal policy initiatives and see if there was any relation between federal policy initiatives and state investment. So I use a framework that was developed by Ed Miller, who was at Brown University for several years and now is at Boston University, which is just a general model of health policy making at a state level that considers factors internal to the states as well as factors external to the state, which would include federal policies as well as what states around that particular state are doing. It really pulls out of the innovation literature, out of political science. I've created a state-level database that includes all the states except Arizona, and that's because Arizona has always operated its program as a demonstration program and not as under kind of a state plan. So they don't have, more recently there have been better data available, but a lot of these kind of decisions around state plans and things don't apply. So Arizona's not in, and there are some missing data from several states that you can see, and that's because one of the movements in states in their long-term care programs recently has been to have more people with disabilities receive care in managed care settings, and that's created may have created other issues, and there's been a lot written about that, but at least for purposes of my work, there are also some issues around just collecting the data from the managed care plan. So I basically use expenditure data from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. These have been compiled for many years by TruVent Health. Data from the Census Bureau, the American Community Survey, some data from a nursing home data compendium that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has produced for many years. And then home health agency supply, most recently I have obtained from the Office of Research Demonstrations and Information, because it's kind of comes and goes in terms of whether it's publicly available, and then information from the National Governors Association. The main variable to care about here is the dependent variable, and so this is basically a share or a proportion of all long-term care dollars that support community-based care. So it includes nursing facility services, which are, and expenditures, which is a mandatory state plan benefit, home health, which is mandatory, personal care, which is a community-based service, but is optional for states, the 1915C waiver specific to older adults and people with physical disabilities. So there are lots and lots of 1915C waivers, and I include expenditures only for these specific groups. And then 1915I and J expenditures, again, specific to those groups. And then spending for the program of all-inclusive care, or PACE, is now tracked also, and I include those expenditures. So the denominator is basically all those expenditures, and the numerator is the share of those that are devoted to all the community-based care, which is everything but nursing facility services. I focused on money follows the person participation, and then some other socio-demographic supply, economic, and political variables, which you can see. I descriptively compare states their share of dollars supporting community-based care in 2000, 2011, and the change over time. And then because the dependent variable that I'm working with is a proportion, I use a generalized linear model. So the dependent variable is bounded by 0 and 1, and so this is a model that can account for that, account for clustering at the state level, and use post-estimation margins commands to calculate the effect sizes. And let me again reiterate that I do have a co-author, and she was gracious enough to share her skills with me around these newer models, which has been really helpful for thinking about this particular variable in how to analyze it in the context of community-based care. So thank you, Adele. So basically, over this 11-year period, investments increased in all states but Arkansas and Kentucky. And Arkansas stayed relatively stable around 19% to 20%. Kentucky actually came down about 5 or 6 percentage points, but in the other states, it increased over the study period. Just to give you an idea, I have 13 states that I consider low investment states, so they're basically the bottom quartile. So just to give you an idea of where states were in 2000 and the progress to be made, Tennessee, so these are proportions, if you move the decimal over 2 points, you get your percentage. And you can see that Tennessee spent less than 1% of all its long-term care dollars in community-based settings as recently as 2000. So, and the high of these low states was New Jersey at 10%. But you can also see that this share increased in the lower investment states over the period, as well as higher investment states. So then I did two analyses, one on the low investors and one on the relatively higher, and so my low investors are 154 states, so some of the variables that I've used in other analyses I've not included primarily because of sample size issues. But the main thing to note here is that the year trend is positive and significant over the entire study period except the first year. And the share devoted to community-based care increased substantially over the study period. Once you adjust for other factors, there was a negative association between the share of the population who was black and state investment. Nursing home beds was negative, which is what you would expect. The more beds you have, you tend to fill beds. And the Democratic governor was positively associated with state investments over the study period. And money follows a person, which is a federal initiative that I looked at, was not significant. States with higher initial investments. One big point here really is that while they also are continuing to evolve their system, there are fewer kind of positive significant year trends. So where we saw every year but one significant for low investments, only 4 years are significant, and you can see the share change over the study period is also a much smaller change than what we saw in low investment states and home health agency. Per capita was significant. So in terms of discussion, again, almost all states continue to expand the share of long-term services and supports supported in community-based care. I will say, just as a broader context, one of the things that I focused on and have done some work on is kind of comparing state investments for older adults and people with disabilities relative to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And if you go back to the very first year and you follow us out to 2011, states have much more actively transformed their long-term care systems for people with developmental disabilities, which is an interesting question in itself in terms of what drives growth for older adults versus that population. People with intellectual and developmental disabilities, their share now is on the order of 80%, where older adults is 34%. So just to give you an idea, and some other work to still continue to do. While money follows the person wasn't significant, it did two things that were really important to low investment states. The applications required states to focus on nursing home bed capacity and housing affordability, and those were both kind of important factors in low investment states. So we didn't see a direct effect, but perhaps through some of the activities of the demonstration program, it had an effect. It also suggests at this point, I think, that one makes sense to do more targeting of states in terms of providing resources to them, and we see that in the Money Follows the Person demonstration. So in lower, so states that are relatively new, a couple of things that were important and that are amenable to policy is basically addressing nursing home bed capacity. Housing affordability has been an issue going back to Money Follows the Person and probably prior to that. And states, again, are taking very active efforts to try to deal with housing affordability so that when people leave, either want to stay in the community and have accessibility and affordability issues or come out of institutions, that they can address housing needs. And then in this paper and a couple of papers when I've looked at this, there's been a role of kind of the political system in the state and the national governors, the party affiliation of the state governor is positively associated with states' investments. I found that also in some earlier work related to states' provision of services for people with HIV/AIDS. So one mechanism I suggest is that the National Governors Association, the chair each year has a chair's initiative. And several years ago now, the chair's initiative focused on long-term services and supports and had a recent initiative on employment issues related to people with disabilities. So that could be one mechanism, as well as the National Governors Association has a whole best practices part of their association. And so those may be a couple of ways to work with the governors around, since in the Medicaid world, your governor and your state legislature really kind of drive spending and decisions about services and things. That can be an important mechanism. So with that, thank you, and I'm right at stop.